Hey guys, my name is Brittany. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with perfectionism, pride, and lust. What's up, guys? I'm really excited to be here. I'm a little nervous today. Usually I think I like feel okay. But today I want to really just be real with you guys. I want to be transparent, and it's not something I'm used to. Because I struggle with being a perfectionist, this does not come easily. Even in groups, it's not normal for me to just be like, let me share everything that's going on in my life. It just doesn't happen. I try, and so I want you to bear with me. I really want to talk about how perfectionism or ourselves, how we stand in the way of Christ's love, grace, and forgiveness. And I'm going to share with you, can we turn this down just a little bit? Okay, there we go. I don't want to listen to myself that much. All of you guys know that, like, can we turn the lights down just a bit? I'm sorry, I'm being picky, but, like, it's bright, and I told you I'm nervous today. Okay, so many of you know, I'm about to start a ministry. We're about to start the landing. I'm very excited for it. It's about so crazy. That makes me excited. And so we're starting that. You all know that I'm very active in the church. You can see me down in the patio on Sunday. I used to be in kids ministry. I was everywhere. They gave me keys to the church. I got a big lock of things. Like, I just, like, I'm pretty much, like, integrated. And with that, like, I was just like, cool. This is where I am. This is what I'm doing. But what I've learned over, like, my life is what a Christian should supposed to be. What am I supposed to do? What it's supposed to look like? And so I'm going to try to be honest with you because perfectionism traps you. And many people don't understand. And, like, I think we all struggle with a little bit of perfectionism because it's all about pride. And it's about not wanting people to let people in. And not wanting to let them see who you really are and what's really going on, what's really hurting. And we just lie about it. And so I want to let you in a little bit on my past, my present, and what I feel like we all can relate with. And so I'm a child of a very dysfunctional family. And just growing up, I just, like, struggled with, we were, like, homeless off and on. And that was kind of crazy. We also just, like, we struggled with, like, being in safe environments. It was just really different, a different life than especially some people do have now. And so with a dysfunctional family comes the need to control. The need to control now is, like, I want to control everything. Since I couldn't control what people did to me when I was younger, so because I couldn't control what was going on around me, I couldn't control the environment, I couldn't control how fast I learned, I couldn't control any of that. I had to control my now. And controlling my now controlled what lies I told to make myself look better because I didn't want anyone to dare know how imperfect I was. And I remember just, like, all of the things that are surrounded around being a dysfunctional family, the lack of supervision, it can be very dangerous. You can get into a lot of trouble. Usually abuse happens there. Usually just a lot of, like, junk. And then usually what comes along with a dysfunctional family is do not cry. Do not talk about it. Do not say anything. It's not relevant. Life is not that hard. And that's what comes along with a dysfunctional family. And then you move from there and you go on to nothing. Like, when we go to church, put on a happy face. When we go to the store, don't act like I've, like, done anything. Or if anything happened to you, I know that might have been hard, but get over it and let's get past it. And that sucks because then we live with the consequences now being older. And we live with saying, well, you see, this is how it happened. I don't cry. It doesn't hurt that bad. It could wait. Or it's just like that mentality that I have it together because it's not as bad as when I was younger. Or I didn't have it bad then, so this shouldn't be anything now. Like, I shouldn't struggle with anything. And the fact is, no matter what you struggled with, no matter where you were in your past, we all have our own insecurities because we're human. And if you're going to come in here and say you don't struggle, you're lying to me. And I don't like to be lied to. And that's why I'm not lying to y'all right now. And so we all walk upon like this little walk, and I just remember being in a time where I'm like, okay, I'm hiding. This is what we do. We lock ourselves in the closet. Do you guys remember when Milo gave that example? If you weren't here, he was talking to us about this joke. It wasn't even a joke. I don't even know why he told it. But he was talking about how we get into this closet and like someone's like, stay in there. I put a chair there. I locked you in there. And then they're sitting in this closet and they're like, oh, I'm trying to get out. And he like climbs up, goes through a roof and falls out. And they're like, hey, the door wasn't locked anyways. And I found myself just thinking about this is I stay in the closet knowing no one's outside. I'm scared someone might walk to the door. And when they open the door, they see the darkness inside that hides between, like, us when we're alone. What hides in our thoughts? What hides behind the doors that no one sees outside of church, outside of our friends, outside of work? And we get to the point where we're walking past people. You know these conversations. You're like, okay, I'm screwed up. I'm just so sad. My heart's breaking. They don't even know what they did to me. This hurts. My parents don't even know how bad that hurt when they said that. All these things, and we're all hurt, and we're all broken, and then we come, we see someone, they're like, how are you doing? And you're like, I'm just inside, you're like, I just want to cry, I just want to kill you, because I don't want you to ask me how I'm doing, because you're going to make me cry, and then you're like, I'm so good, we've just been busy. And then you walk away, and you're like, dang it, if they only understood how I felt, if they only really could see past my facade. And then we get mad at people because they're like, what? They didn't see that I was hurting and I was angry and they didn't see that I wanted them to reach out to me. And in reality, they can't see past what we put up. When we really talk about mask, when we talk about putting up this brick wall, can you see through a brick wall, anyone? Like, I don't know if y'all got like those, like, I don't know if it even spidey senses if you see through brick walls, but whatever. What? Superman can, but he's not real. So if you could imagine, he is not real. You can't see through a brick wall. And then we think that someone is going to see through the wall that we built and that they should reach us and that they should understand all the pain. How can they? We set ourselves up for failure. And so going on from here, now, I'm still very heavily involved in church. I love everything, and this is where it gets hard. Wrong page. So I'm continuing to develop on my perfectionism, and it's really hard for me to tell people when I've done something wrong, because the fact is, I'm like, I have come so far, I'm like doing great, everything's shining, and then I forget that I'm human and I fail. But in perfectionism, the problem is you want to be like Jesus. And you go to such an extreme that you say, like, well, if I'm supposed to be like Jesus, then I'm not supposed to sin. And if I sin, then I will reap what I sow. And when I reap what I sow, God's going to damn me to hell. I don't know about if that's how you go, but that's how I go. I go very dramatic. I go big dip. I'm like all the way. I'm just nasty. It's not good. I say, Jesus, roll out the guillotine. Do your bidding. And maybe we'll try it again if another life exists. Because I give up. This is how it goes. And we downplay it. We say, like, oh, man, I messed up. And then you're like, well, time to throw everything away. It doesn't matter. I'm already messing up, so I might as well keep going. And this was exactly where I took it, because this is where I go. And my sponsor is just funny, because when I tell her, she's like, you didn't get it yet. And I'm like, no, I still think I'm Jesus. And then they're like, do you want me to bow down to you? No, I don't. Blasphemy. I'm going to keep sitting, because that's what I do. But anyways, let's keep going. So this is what happened. Hold on. What I did is I promised myself I would never do this. I don't know if you guys have those sins that you said, I will never do this. I will never cross this line. I would never say those things to that person. I would never go there. I would never do this more than once. Those lines that trap us. And they're really very deceptive, because when we start saying that, it's like the devil's like, ooh, I see a challenge arising. Because when we say that, we judge other people. You see, I'm not going to be as bad as them, so look it, I'm not going to do that. And then what I found is just, I was in that place where I failed. But my problem was, I didn't tell anybody. I held on to so much shame. and so much guilt. And I'm telling you, this is recovery. I mean, I only wrote this message. I was like, I don't know what to talk about. I just suck right now. And I come here and I'm like, woo. I talked to Kiara and a bunch of people. They're like, you haven't read your message? I'm like, no, I haven't. Not a dang bit. I don't even know what I'm talking about. I just want to talk about shame and guilt because it's real. And we feel it. Shame, guilt, regret. When we hide. When we isolate. Those are tricks. Like, that should be a warning sign. When you're not really talking to people. You don't text nobody but the people that you know that will, like, pat you on the back and love you. Because you're like, they'll love me in spite of everything. But in reality, they're so unhealthy they don't even know that you have health. And, like, it's funny. I got to the point where I was just like, I was dying. I mean, I would just show up to church like, whew, they don't know what I did. If they knew, they wouldn't let me leave the landing anymore. Oh, my gosh. And it went even deeper because our heads are so loud. And it's like, well, dang, I won't be able to do this. I won't be able to serve in youth ministry anymore. I won't even have the church keys. And this is the sad thing. I got this gray chair in the office. Don't tell anyone this. And I literally, this is funny. My sponsor laughed. I related my problem to this gray chair. I said, because I did this, I got a gray chair in the office. And it's ugly, and I love it, but I hate it. And I only love it because they gave it to me. And I remember just being like, what the heck? Do you ever have those issues where you're like, this my parking spot was taken because I sinned? We relate everything back to each other. In reality, we just make ourselves crazy. We make ourselves feel guiltier than we should. We build these prisons. We build them. We like, oh, the devil's attacking me. Most of the time, we're doing all the fight ourselves. We pick up our own bricks and we say, oh, we're not worth it. Oh, gosh. Oh, man, I suck today. I didn't do any of my step work that good. I didn't call my sponsor. Let me lay some more on. Oh, shoot, I accidentally failed. I looked too long. Or we can get serious is, oh, the fact that I still want it, is that wrong? Let me build it even more. That's still shame. And we build our prisons and we sit at it. And we're like, help me, let me get out. But in reality, we walk back in it every day. We have the opportunity to be free, but we don't. We choose to stay in that shame, that guilt, that brokenness, the empty feeling where your heart, there's the hole and you're like, why won't it get filled? I'm trying to be the best at all the sports I'm in. I'm trying to be the best mom in the world. I'm trying to be the best whatever position at work. I'm trying to be the best sponsor. I'm trying to be the best everything, but yet I still feel broken. There's still a side of me that it's never enough. So I still run to those secret things. It doesn't have to be your main addiction to still be a problem. When you run to something else instead of God, that is an addiction because we start something new. And so, at this point, I was crucifying myself. Still, no one knew. I have recovery. I'm Brittany. I'm supposed to, yeah, I'm like, yes, Brittany, tell me this wonderful thing. And I'm like, I got nothing for you. I would show up to my sponsor's house and I'd be like, all right, let's go for our steps. And it was step three. Stupid step three. That's how I felt that day. I sat there and I was just like, she's just, man, you don't feel like yourself. I'm like, you don't even know what I'm about to read you right now. Like, what I'm about to put down. No one should love me after this. No one should, like, care for me after they know what I've done, when I have recovery, when I'm a churchgoer to the extreme, when I do everything and I try to be the best I can be. No one, she should not love me. This should just be the end of things. She's going to go tell Maureen, and then it's all just going to blow up in my face. That's literally, like, the process that happened. And I'm just being real with you. And when it happened, it was got to this question. Like, I mean, if you can imagine, my palms were sweating. I had my jacket over my head at one point. This isn't like me. I'm, like, sitting there, like, just like, whew, you're not ready for this. And I said it. I was like, I failed. I didn't do it. I did the wrong thing, and I knew I was going to do it. But I did it anyways, and I don't feel bad about it right now. And I just sat there, and I cried. And you know, the thing was, is the things that came out of her mouth was, I love you. Not, that's stupid. Why did you go and do that? She said, I love you. The fact that scares me is that you stayed in the dark for so long. I stayed in my shame for a month. No one knew. So that's how I know that we all struggle with something in this room. And when people tell me, oh, I'm good, nothing's wrong, I'm fine, I'm having a great week, my kids are great, like, I know you're lying because I'm lying. I ain't got kids. Good thing. But I'm not, yeah. I don't need kids for a long time. But we have a lot of people. Sorry. I love your kids. They're like mine sometimes. I love that we're family because I can just like laugh and all that stuff. What I forgot is that he comes for the broken. And he loves the broken. In spite of who we are. He still loves me. I didn't even want to speak today because I'm like, I'm undeserving. Oh, don't use me, Jesus. I'm just horrible. And it's like, it's not about me. What did I do? I went to God and I asked for forgiveness. And then I found another spot where we're just like, I'm like, cool, I asked for forgiveness. Great. I'm good now. But then I got to the point where I was just like, man, I still don't feel free. I'm still trapped by this thing that keeps haunting me, that keeps telling me that even though I asked for forgiveness and it's supposed to all go away, I still feel stuck. I still feel angry at myself. I still resent myself. I still feel shameful. It went away a little bit, I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, I started torturing myself because I needed persecution. And then it hit me, like, yesterday. And I just thought that I didn't forgive myself yet. There's processes to when we do things. You go to God, you come to him, you say, I surrender everything, I cannot do this. When I did this, this is where I came. And then you turn to the next thing, and what do? You say, I forgive myself. I'm human. I'm going to fail. This does not define me. We allow ourselves to dig a deeper hole for ourselves, and when we throw dirt on ourselves, and we're like, oh, they're throwing dirt at me. They hate me. They don't care. We care. We care so much. We're so like selfish-minded. We can't look past what we've done. And Jesus is like, do you remember that time where I went on the cross a long time ago? I knew you were going to do that, and I paid the price. I knew you were going to do it the next time, and I paid the price. I knew you were going to do it again and again, and I still pay the price, and I don't regret it one day. And it's just like, what do we do with this? There's a story in Matthew 9, and it's 9 through 13, and this is about Matthew the tax collector. This is really cool. I only stumbled upon this verse in Chick-fil-A, so, hey. As Jesus went from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said, follow me. And Matthew got up and followed him. And when Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Overhearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but it is the sick. Let me say it again. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, it is the sick. But go and learn from this, which I mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. God doesn't call us to come and crucify ourselves. He doesn't say, go and punish yourself for what you've done. Rightly, if you do something, there are consequences. Do not get me wrong. You do not just get off scot-free if you kill someone, you're going to jail. Just saying, like, it's not like you don't get a magical go away. You do have the consequences. But even through the consequences, he says, I still don't need you to play God. I did not come for the perfect people. I did not come because you had it all together. I did not come because you already conquered your addiction on your own. No. The cool thing is he came for the nasty. He came from the broken. He came from the drug addict, the alcoholic, the drunk. He came from the person who has a suicidal of thoughts. He came for the insecure. He came for the cheater. He came for every hurt and broken person. And the fact is, I'm glad he's more of our God than he is the outside God. I don't want the outside of this building God, because that God doesn't really love me. The God that loves me is the God in here, the God in these steps, that he says, no matter what, we do have to dig a little deeper. We do have to go in and clear out all the wreckage. But it's okay. I promise you, I'll be on the other end. And so I really want to encourage you to know that these steps, they bring life. And I don't think we fully understand that sometimes, because we feel it's a chore. We feel like, ugh, my sponsor said, did I do step three again? And have I finished my fourth step? And well, I'm still waiting. And when are we going to meet? Reality is, it's your walk. It's your life. Are you showing up for meetings? If you need to attend more than one, more than this CR, and you need to go 3 times a week, are you doing it? How many more excuses do we have to make to say, God, I want to persecute myself. Leave me alone. Because that's what we say. We say, leave me be. Let me live in my misery. Let me have all these weights on my shoulders. But I'm going to blame you, just so you know. Because it's funny how most Christians, they're like, oh, God, why did you do this? I'm like, I thought you didn't believe in Jesus. So I'm a little confused on how we always come to blame. Or we blame other people. My mama did it. My daddy did it. My sister. That guy at the park. Okay. They could have done something. Sorry, I don't know why I said that guy in the park. They could have done something. But the fact is, are they you? Do they have to live with the shame, the guilt, the feeling of, I just want no one to know anything about me, because if they know, they're going to hate me, they're going to judge me, they're going to judge my family. We don't care about your family. Go on with them. Like, they're going to be them. They're not in here. We care about the person. And so, I want to really just, everyone, I want you to close your eyes. This is going to be kind of a long little talk right here with your eyes closed, but I want you to think, what are some things that you're saying, God, I know that I did this, but I don't deserve your forgiveness? Or you're sitting there saying, like, God, it's not that bad, right? If you have to ask, that means something. And I want you to think about, what are you really not surrendering to him? What are you holding on to so strongly that it's not enough for him to keep reassuring you every Friday night that he loves you in spite of who you are, in spite of what you've done, in spite of anything that you could even make or anything that you can do wrong, he still loves you? Where do you draw the line in self-persecution? It's time to forgive yourself, and it's time to let go of what you're letting yourself be imprisoned with. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to be real with you. I thank you for letting me say that I mess up, and I mess up in the daily. But you still love me. And I pray that anyone who is sitting in these seats, if they're feeling like they're unworthy, if they feel like they're unloved, if they feel like it's nothing left, there's no hope for them, God, I pray that you reach out and you love on them and you let them know that this was their call. this was their time with you, and that you have uniquely created this program because you knew that it would reach their hearts in depths beyond we could ever imagine. I ask that we accept the freedom that you give, and we no longer reject it. And anyone in this room who, I don't know if you have Jesus in your heart, or you feel like you left him, and if that's the case, he welcomes you with open arms. So if you just want to repeat after me, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you say, Father God, I give you everything. I ask that you continue to love on me and to forgive me for everything that I've done. I thank you for dying on the cross, and I thank you for continuing to reach me every day. I ask that you be my boss, my CEO, and coach of my life. And Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for this opportunity. And I just ask as we go into worship that it doesn't stop here, that we continue, we're honest in group. We let go of the walls. In your precious and holy name, amen.
Hello, I'm Thomas. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I struggle with alcohol and drug addiction and building my own walls. So, we're going to pass the bucket. If you guys can help us contribute to be self-supporting, that'd be wonderful. And then repeat me the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, one moment at a time, accepting hardships as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have, trusting that he will make all things right by surrendering to his will, so that I may peacefully be happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and next. Amen.